Hey, what happened?
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
I'm freaking out, man.
If you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours.
El Deuterino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Let's end this hour on movies. We're at the edge of the Oscar season, just as we're at the edge of this storm in the Northeast. Takeaway Movie Day team, Rafer Guzman, Kristen Meinzer are here, as usual. Rafer, of course, Newsday critic, movie critic, and Kristen Meinzer, culture producer here at The Takeaway. Welcome, guys.
Hi, John.
So let's start with the new movies that are out this week. This might be the last time for a couple of weeks that we do the new movies, because we're going to be rehashing all of the Oscar-nominated stuff, and we'll do a little of that in a moment. But, you know, Steven Soderbergh began his career with a toss-off movie called Sex, Lies, and Videotape, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He claims this movie that's being released this weekend, Side Effects, is his last. My question for you is this a toss-off?
I really need to talk to you.
Emily. Yeah. I just got your message. I'm with my wife.
I went to your office, but you weren't there. So I came here, and can we just go talk?
If it's an emergency, I can admit you.
No. I have to go to work. I just need 5 minutes.
The movie is called Side Effects. We're not supposed to know what it's about. You guys have seen it. Jude Law was in Contagion to great effect for Steven Soderbergh. What do you make of this, Rafer?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit. It's about a woman who takes a brand new pharmaceutical, and it has, let's say, unintended side effects. I expected this to be, you know, a real last hurrah for Soderbergh, and it looks great. It's got that nice kind of cool, chic Soderbergh style. But it's really just an old, old, creaky noir. And it reminded me a lot of old episodes of Law & Order and even older, you know, film noirs with the incriminating photos, the usual nine yards. It does feel like a toss-off to me. I was really disappointed in it.
Kristen?
Really? I totally enjoyed it, Rafer.
Really?
Were we even at the same movie? Because this was so fun. There's the back and forth. You think you trust this character, then you realize, ooh, this character is not to be trusted. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Well, he loves taking down sort of big this and big that. I mean, it was sort of the CDC and Contagion on some level. Here, it's Big Pharma.
Well, it is, and there are a lot of jokes about the advertising that's used, the names of the drugs that are administered, all of the relationships with the doctors who sell the drugs, and that's pretty fun to see, I have to say.
All right. Our next movie, Melissa McCarthy from Bridesmaids with Justin Bateman in Identity Thief. I heard a review of this. 2 hours that you'll lose if you see this, that you'll never get back. Here, listen.
You've had a pretty intense...
She doesn't care.
...accident last year, and he injured his male parts.
They're just shredded down there.
And now he can't work. He wants to fight fires, and he wants to pee standing up. Don't you want to pee standing up? I know you do, but he can't.
Identity Thief there, starting with a very high bar, it seems. Kristen?
You know, it's the story of a man who finds out that his identity has been stolen by a woman several states away. He decides that he's going to find her, capture her, bring her to justice. Of course, they end up on a road trip where they learn a little bit about each other and about themselves. And along the way, we're supposed to be laughing quite a bit. But I do have to say, it feels more punishing than funny a lot of the time. It gets better as it goes along, but it's pretty painful.
Rafer?
That's interesting. I actually liked this movie quite
really?
A bit. Yes.
Quite a bit.
It reminded me a lot of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is a clear inspiration. The road trip comedy, the button-down guy, the obnoxious large presence played by Melissa McCarthy.
Extremely goofy comedy.
Extremely goofy comedy. One of my favorites, though. I love that movie. And I really liked this. And I have to say, Melissa McCarthy, very funny, a lot of heart. And I think she could be our new John Candy.
Wow. And we need a new John
Kennedy. Do we
ever? Yes, indeed. All right. Finally, Top Gun back in 3D. Let's listen to a clip.
In case some of you wonder who the best is, they're up here on this plaque on the wall. Do you think your name is going to be on that plaque?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty arrogant considering the company you're in.
Yes, sir.
I like that in the pilot.
This looks like a home movie from Tom Cruise's elementary school days. Does it work in 3D, Kristen?
You know what? I just have to say this isn't a very good movie in the first place. There's a lot of chasing.
Oh,
there's that Kenny Loggins soundtrack. It wasn't very good originally, and it definitely does not need to be in 3D. The 3D just draws attention to the fact that it's old and dated.
Even the volleyball scene?
Sadly. Very sadly.
Rafer, you like?
I did not see it. I was spared.
Spared Top Gun. Yeah, you know, I love Top Gun, but as a frothy, you know, sinful piece of entertainment, I might actually be dragged into a theater to see this, but not before the 10 other movies I have to see before the Oscars. And speaking of Oscars, we have a big movie announcement about you two. And before we make it, let's hear from a suddenly big director, Ben Zeitlin of the Academy Award nominated Beasts of the Southern Wild, on how his little movie that could got made.
The film was financed in a very unconventional way. This nonprofit company approached me after my short film and said, if you can make a film under this budget, you know, we'll finance your entire film. You know, and that budget was significantly smaller than we probably should have had to tell the gigantic story we were trying to tell. So it was a long process of figuring out how to build things by hand, salvage materials. You know, it involved really living a lot of what the story is because we couldn't synthesize it and didn't want to. So we were, you know, on boats made of truck beds out in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, building, you know, shacks in the swamp. And it was a real immersive adventure. You know, we would go out in these little towns in South Louisiana and literally knock on every door on the street, pass out flyers saying, come audition for a film, no experience necessary. And we ended up seeing about 4,000 kids for her role over the course of 9 months, Quvenzhané. And so that was her story. But then Dwight, who plays her father, was running a bakery that was across the street from our casting office. And so we would go in there getting donuts from him every morning. And one day he came in for an audition, got the part of Wink, which was always intended for a professional actor. And so, you know, we really just were looking and we just found so much talent in South Louisiana that we ended up not casting any professionals in the film, and everybody in the movie is from South Louisiana.
Amazing. Now, Ben Zeitlin will be just one of the amazing voices you'll be able to hear on a 1-hour Oscar special starring you guys, Rafer and Kristen. It's the big time, guys. We're talking big time. Tell me about the special. What's it going to be called, Kristen?
It's called Movie Date Presents Oscar Totally Naked. And it's very behind the scenes. It's talking with a lot of people below the radar, some unsung heroes, indie directors like Ben. And we hear a lot of fantastic, surprising stories along the way and some things that you might not know about the Oscars.
An hour on WNYC, New Jersey Public Radio, and other stations on Sunday, February 24th. Rafer, do you and Kristen kind of mix it up? Do we really learn the real story about you two?
Well, yeah, if you haven't gotten enough of us already, you'll definitely get some more of us on Oscar Totally Naked.
The Oscar Totally Naked, February 24th. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Kristen Meinzer, culture producer for The Takeaway and co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Good luck, guys, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, John.
And from movie stories on film to the stories in your own life written down, mailed with love. You know, we talked about the mail service getting rid of Saturday delivery, and we got into this discussion about letters, and we just can't stop. Marion from Vermont wrote us this. I was about 10, and I'd asked my father to explain blackmail to me, which he did. A couple weeks later, he was out of town on a sales trip, and I got a letter addressed to me in his handwriting on hotel stationery with a short article he had cut out of the Chicago Tribune about the origin of the word blackmail. He wrote a brief note saying he thought of me and our conversation when he saw the article in the paper. It was the only thing he ever wrote to me, only to me, and with four siblings. That was special. I still have it. He died in 1969. 877-8-MY-TAKE to share the story behind the best letter you've received or written. And while you're there, share your 6-word love story with us. All on The Takeaway, I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.